everyone. This is Adam Meister, the Bitcoin Meister, the Disrupt Meister. Welcome to the One Bitcoin Show. Today is November the 11th, 2019. Strong hand. Bitcoin is the next Bitcoin in motion. Value your wealth in Bitcoin. Offended by selling. All right. This is a very special show, as you can tell. Hello, all my elite friends. Bobby Lee is here. You know him. He is the founder and the CEO of Valet Wallet. So we're going to talk about a lot of issues today, but we're going to start it off by talking about the Valet Wallet because it's, for some reason, controversial. He's trying to make something for beginners to get used to Bitcoin. And I think it's good. He's being productive and everything. But some people, they don't like it. They don't like the whole thing. So, Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So I'm just going to let you have the first word here. What are you trying to do here? What is the market you're marketing to? And what is this product? And hold it up. Show it to the world.
Yeah. So I'm here. Obviously, I think we're going to talk a little bit about the Valet physical cryptocurrency wallet. Here's what it looks like. And so this year, 2019, is when we got started. In January this year, I got a bunch of good friends together. We started this company to build what we think is a next generation, super easy, reliable, and safe a cryptocurrency wallet for the mass market. And you know, it's been, what is it, 10 months now? It's been the single most fun thing I've done all my life. I think it's been an extraordinary journey so far. We're far from success. We're just getting started, but it's been an amazing journey, a lot of fun. We worked hard, you know, the first, 8 months, we revealed our name brand in August, and then we revealed the product in September, and then we launched it and started shipping, late October, and today we're November 11th, so we're shipping it in small volumes right now, trying to get all the logistics worked out, the fulfillment stuff. But we're very excited. Should I tell the audience about what this is?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So essentially, what you see here is I'm going to take it out of the protective case. It's actually It's made of stainless steel. It's kind of like a credit card. People very much liken it to the American Express Platinum card. In this case, it's made of stainless steel. It's nice and thick. It's over 1 millimeter thick, nice and heavy and hefty. It's what we call the world's first non-electronic physical wallet with multi-currency support. And I'm speaking of multiple cryptocurrencies, of course. We're in the crypto industry. So this one here has a Bitcoin insignia. If you see it, I'll flash it on the left side of the card. The name of the product is called Real Bitcoin, made by Valet. And what this is it's a non-electronic wallet that is pre-configured and set up for you. So there's no setup for the users. So we have a deposit QR code, and the deposit address is represented both in the QR code and also printed in text. There's two lines that are very legible. Fixed with font text. This is a demo wallet I show people. It has serial numbers on it and all that. And essentially, we probably need to say this in the future, but it's essentially a BIP38 compliant encrypted private key wallet. BIP38 is a standard from the early days of Bitcoin. So this is a very well-known, very well-respected, very well-tested, thoroughly tested standard. In the Bitcoin protocol's early days. This is not the BIP39, not the BIP44, but it's BIP38. And it's supported by the very early, the paper wallet manufacturers and the websites like bitaddress.org. So what we have here is we have an encrypted private key that is beneath the sticker here, where you see a reflective sticker. And then we have the encryption passphrase, the wallet passphrase that's underneath the scratch off on the bottom here. So there's about a 20-letter passphrase here. So let me. I don't want to get bogged down in details, but essentially, it's for you experts, you guys can understand this as a fancy metal-based paper wallet. But the cool thing is it has multi-currency support. So so even though this has Bitcoin insignia, supports Bitcoin deposits here, but using our app, you can actually activate, enable all sorts of other coins. We have over 20 coins out there. So Ethereum, Litecoin, Dogecoin, ERC20 tokens, what else? Binance coin, a whole bunch. And they all get keyed to the same private key pair. So it's really cool in that sense. Anyways, so I'll take a break and let you chime in, Adam.
Okay, well, let's talk about the private key. First of all, everybody, all the info is linked to below. Pound that like button, but let's talk about the private key controversy part of it, because that's what people are screaming about.
Private key controversy.
Yes.
So do you have a question, or do you want?
I'm gonna read off something and tell me if this is my tech friend Rocky said this.
Yeah.
The security on Bobby Lee's new wallet are different than Casatius coins. With Casatius coins, it was one guy sticking the private key on the back. You had to trust that guy. With Bobby Lee's wallets, the private key is created in China, but then a passphrase is added in Las Vegas. The people in China can't know the passphrase, and the people in Las Vegas don't know the private key. But both are needed to spend, okay? So are Bobby Lee's wallets 100% trustless? No, but they are much more trustless than Casatius coins. So I don't know if I got China and Las Vegas right there, but did that seem to be right?
Is your audience very technical? I'm very happy to go in details.
Some are. So yeah, we can, this product, I want to stress to everyone, is for beginners, but
It's for beginners. Absolutely. So
they're never going to be worried about private key, public key. But
they won't even know. They won't even know. But we're taking a strong responsibility to make it safe.
Yes. But we got to get into the technical aspects now.
So absolutely. So let's talk about this. So I'm glad your audience in that quote mentioned Casatius. We are a great evolution from the Casatius coin. So for those of you who don't know, Casatius was the very first maker of physical Bitcoins. They were made in coin round sizes, size of quarters and half dollars. They were made of brass, copper, you know, even silver and gold. Casatius was a very prolific maker. The guy's name is Mike Caldwell. I've met him in person back in 2013. I'm a collector of several of his Casatius coins. And so we are a great evolution from that. And let me talk about that in three ways. Number one is our product, the wallet here, is not in round form. It's actually a square credit card size form. So the form factor is slightly different. Oh, the internet's stable. Okay. Anyways, the form factor is different. We use that tamper evidence sticker concept, and we hide the private key behind the sticker. So the three things that are different is, number one, we have a deposit address right on the device, on the wallet itself. So Casatius coins never had the full deposit address QR code. We have it right there. The purpose is to make it easy for people to load more currencies on there. And the second topic is that we actually ship it empty. So we ship it as an empty wallet, whereas Casatius shipped theirs as a loaded piece of coin. The difference, of course, besides the value, the difference is in logistics and regulation. We don't have to be controlled by as a money transmitter. We ship it as empty wallets, much like if you buy a leather physical wallet at Neiman Marcus or at Macy's at a department store. So we ship a physical empty cryptocurrency wallet. So there's no money transmitter, no regulation issues. Number three, by not having it loaded, we reduce any fraud or any mistakes in shipping logistics. We don't lose money. There's no insurance issues and stuff like that when we ship globally. And number three is we have multi-currency support. So Casatius never had that. So with multi-currency support, it means that you could load not just Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum onto the same card. And that's an amazing breakthrough that we use. And further, Casatius actually, I think, was one of the first companies to pioneer BIP38, using BIP38. The idea is that they allow their customers to pick their own passphrase. And then Casatius, Mike Caldwell, would create a coin that is tied to that passphrase, because the customer would transmit over what they call an intermediate code. It's an intermediate code that gets transmitted. Casatius would build a paper wallet coin with a sticker and private key. It's encrypted by the passphrase where the original person has set, but the passphrase is never revealed to Mike Caldwell, and vice versa. Mike Caldwell, after creating the coin, has a confirmation code which can allow the customer to test and make sure the passphrase it will unlock the private key that's on the Casatius coin. Okay, so So the point is, we use that same technology that's been well tested and ironed out for the last, what is it, 7-8 years already. So back to your comment there. We use that same technology, the BIP38 encryption technology. What's really cool about it is that the gentleman who wrote that paragraph made a small important error, is that the encrypted private key gets created after the passphrase is set. So it's not like we take a private key and then we lock it up by adding a passphrase onto it. That's not how it works. Because if it were like that, then the two pieces of digital information actually comes together. Okay, so that's where there's a lot of potential for disclosure, for leakage of information. Okay, I've been in this industry for 8.5 years. I've run one of the world's largest Bitcoin exchanges. I myself have been a coin maker. We made BTCC mint coins from 2016, 2018. So I have a lot of experience, not just in crypto, but in managing private keys for exchanges, wallets, and also, and by the way, I built 2 wallet products while at BTCC. So I've had experience building exchanges, custody wallet solutions, custodial wallet solutions, as well as physical Bitcoins. And this is my next venture, the Ballet physical coin wallet. So back to the point, we've come up with a process, what we call 2FKG, two-factor key generation, where we utilize the BIP38 technology. We randomly generate a passphrase. And that's done in Las Vegas, okay? So that's locked up offline computer in Las Vegas and never goes online. And that never sees the light of day. That passphrase, we then generate what we call the intermediate code. And the intermediate code is what goes over to China to allow the generation of the private key, okay? So the private key then gets generated in China. It's already encrypted by the passphrase, and then we make it into these very secure tamper evident stickers, and then we stick them onto these steel cards, and then they're all keyed off of the serial number. So that's why the wallet itself has multiple serial numbers printed on it to give the users assurance that it's all part of the same wallet process. And then the wallets get shipped over to Las Vegas physically. They get and then we laser etch the passphrase onto the same wallet corresponding to the serial number. That's when we use the passphrase data file again. And of course, all the files on both sides are deleted properly and zeroed out before we send out the wallets. And we have the confirmation codes and all that stuff. So anyways, so I've put a lot of time and effort thinking about this. So we think we've nailed the process down. I challenge people to point out problems with our process. But I agree with you and the audience that in the end, by buying our product, you trust us ultimately as a vendor to make you a class A awesome product for users to store the cryptocurrencies. And that's pretty much true of any wallet provider out there or any product out there. There is no such thing as a trustless product. In the end, whatever product you buy, whether it's a physical product or a virtual or software product, you always have a sense of trust in terms of the vendor, the makers, the creators, the authors, or the people who write the software algorithms. So let me take a break here. Back to you.
All right. Now, I want to point out that it is in your best interest, of course, for this to be perfect. The incentives align that if someone, absolutely, if there was one mistake, your product is gone. That's it. So people that are saying it's an exit scam or it's this, that. First of all, he just gave his whole background. Does this man need to exit scam anyone? I mean, he's got.
Yeah. So that's a great point. I'm now independently wealthy. Yeah. I can pretty much retire. I could have retired last year after selling my company. I made a bunch of money off of that. I'm also early Bitcoin investor, so you can imagine how many times my Bitcoin portfolio has increased. And I'm putting myself out here, literally my face, my likeness, my name, my people meet me at conferences. They know I'm the real Bobby Lee. I'm the guy behind this thing. So two things. One is financially, I don't need an exit scam. I don't need to. And the other thing is that it's probably easier for me to just retire, go off to an island and live a good life as opposed to getting myself involved in some controversial thing that's going to get me tied up or go to jail or whatever. Right. So of all the people who, this is a true statement, of all the people who worried about the private key, you know, I'm the single most I could say I'm even more worried than anyone else in the whole wide world. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like of all the people, I should be the one who's worried about the process. It's really past my muster that I'm willing to release this product to the world. And it really has passed my muster because I've designed it for many, many months. It's been on the back of my mind for several years now. Finally, last year, December, it clicked together. I realized I could put together this product and innovate on this only area. And over the last 9 months, 10 months, I'm really proud. We have a great team. We really put together an amazing product with software, mobile app, and all that. So we have something compelling. So yeah, back to you.
All right. So I want to, one thing, because people with experience recognize this as just a, it's a complicated, it's a better paper wallet. It's a fancy. Paper.
Yeah. Yeah. But for the knowledge of what it is.
One of the problems with paper wallets is that people, they have their private key written down and then they can't send. Okay. Does your app?
Why is that? Oh, I see what you're saying. Because yeah. So yeah, that's great. So I love the fact that experts recognize it's a paper wallet. It is a paper wallet. We don't call it a paper wallet for marketing purposes because for new people, paper wallet may sound a little bit flimsy and a little bit like what do you mean by it's paper? We don't even call it a metal wallet because you know it's stainless steel. But the issue is that's metal. So we call it a physical wallet because we want to emphasize that this is turning digital currency into a physical object by making it into a bearer instrument. So that's why we call it a physical wallet, okay? And we could have made this with paperback or plastic cards. I've seen some people try to make it with plastic or paper, but we make it with stainless steel card. We want to make it really hefty and solid to give people an impression that this is worth something solid, keep it stable, okay? Keep it safe. And the thing about what's different about this and other paper wallets is that we build an ecosystem around it. Okay. We sell these. So paper wallets usually go to a site like bitaddress.org. You generate the paper wallets using Entropy and then you print it out on paper or some people even laminate it at best. But what we do is we take the complicated process, put it on the metal cards for you. And then the best part is we have this amazing app called Ballet Crypto. Very proud of our app team. Adam, you probably have used it already, given your nodding. The app is amazing. It's a very key part of our solution. With paper wallet, people don't know how to spend it. They peel it off. They see the private key. There's no QR code. They have to type it in somewhere that they get an offline computer. It's really complex. What we do is we take it one step further. We give you the app, okay? The app looks like... yeah, Robert, we'll get a version of the app for you. Essentially, it has it's kind of like an app. But yeah, let me do you mind if I show this?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So it's kind of like this. So you could click in, and it has multi-currency support. So you click edit, and you can. Oops, let me try this. And you can literally see all the over close to 24 of currencies that we support in this app. So you could turn on Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, you know, USDT, Bitcoin Gold, XRP, Binance Coin, Dash, you know, Ethereum Classic, Dogecoin, Basic Attention Token, all these coins you could turn on and enable, okay? So the app is a key function. It allows you to easily send the funds. So once you have the app loaded, then you could, in the app, you're managing the wallet. It's a watch-only app. So for you experts out there, the app is watch-only. There is no private key stored in the app, okay? And the wallet itself, this physical thing itself, is the private key. It has a private key. So this is the bearer instrument. So if your mobile phone gets hacked, if it gets stolen, if someone looks into it, download it, whatever, they can never get access to your fund because it's all stored on the private key. It's vision-based on here. So further, the app allows you to then select which coins to send. You can send what amounts you want. You don't have to send the full amount. You can send partial amounts. The remaining change comes back to the same address. And then basically it's a multifunctional wallet. It's a multi-currency wallet. It's really easy to use. I urge you to give it a try. It's really awesome. I keep one with me. I'll show you. I keep a wallet. Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's right here. I took it out already. I'll hide the QR code, but I keep one with me. Essentially there's a passphrase and then, you know, there's a, I'm going to hide the QR code a little bit. but essentially there's the private key and all that. I keep one with me in the wallet. I store my Bitcoin, Litecoin, and stuff like that in here. So what was I?
Say, I was nodding my head. I have not used the app yet, but
Okay.
I am glad I was nodding my head because the people complain about the paper wallets, they can't send. I'm glad
It exactly.
easy
exactly.
For people to send. That's a really important part. But
in fact, one more comment. We actually have paper wallet import capability in the app. So in the app, if you buy a Ballet physical wallet, in the app, there's paper wallet import. You can then, it's an advanced feature. You click on the app on the upper right, you click import. Then you can import any and all of your paper wallets. We currently only support Bitcoin. We'll support Litecoin and other coins very soon. But the best part about the Bitcoin import, we actually recognize all of the fork coins. The Bitcoin Cash, the Bitcoin SV, Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Diamond. So if you have a paper wallet from pre-2017, where you have multiple coins, four coins in there, you can actually import them selectively. There's a check mark. You can import all of them or some of it into Ballet, and then you can manage it separately. You can send out your Bitcoin Cash, send it a Bitcoin SV, keep your Bitcoin Diamond, or whatever you want with it. So it's really easy.
No, and
it's an awesome feature.
And I forgot about that feature. And I have been saying for a while that someone should make a wallet that just splits it for everyone.
We have that. That's exactly it. We have it. I was just testing it recently. It's awesome. It's really awesome. I built it by myself. Basically, I'm an old school, you know, what they call OG, whatever. So I know my Bitcoin. I know my crypto. And this product, I love it myself. Basically, if I build something I love, I figure other people might like it too. And this is where we are right now.
I love that feature that you can split get your crypto dividends. But what I kind of envision the product as is something that would get beginners into the system, get beginners into the space, and then they could move on from it once they figured
that's
it out.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So you don't see it as the full, like you see people moving on the Trezors and stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's how I say this. Okay. This is a simple wallet. We emphasize on simplicity and elegance. We don't emphasize on features. We don't have multi-sig support. We don't have smart contracts. We don't have all these fancy features. Okay. So there are many wallets. And by the way, this wallet is actually not even suitable for daily use. Our idea is that you store crypto here, Bitcoins, whatever, and you put it, you hold it somewhere as a long-term investment. We're not saying, oh, you're going to use this and spend, you know, buy coffee, buy this and buy that, you know, use it five times a day. If you are actually spending Bitcoins in cryptocurrency, Ethereum, five times a day on a daily basis, you probably already have a solution. This wallet is not for you. Does that make sense? This is for the new person, the newbie, the no coiner, the new coiner.
Yes, this is their first Bitcoin piggy bank. That's
exactly.
What it is.
That's exactly it. And then what happens is over time, as our users get more sophisticated, they understand Bitcoin more. They understand, what it takes to do a backup of a key recovery seed, the 24 words. They understand all those more advanced concepts. Then they can upgrade or move on to more sophisticated solutions, more sophisticated wallets that have different trade-offs. But I think this is a great first stepping stone for most people. But even for advanced users like me, there are use cases of this which is really useful, which is when I want to give Bitcoin out as a gift to people. This is the single best way to give out as a gift.
So there's that. You don't foresee it becoming a little bit more – you don't see two or three multi-sig being added or anything like that.
That's a great question. People ask me, Bobby, you'd be really cool if you could get Ballet to support two or three multi-sig. I'm like, yes. But not for now, because I don't want to pivot my company and really cater to the experts, because I built the whole company to cater to the beginners. Maybe one day, 5 years or 3 years or 2 years from now, when we're super successful, we have the resource and the wherewithal to implement more fancy solutions. That's when we'll implement those features for advanced users. But for now, we're laser focused on new users, bringing new people into our community.
Yeah, I like it. It's their first piggy bank. I like that. And so let's focus on the present. Where is the interest coming from? I mean, you are targeting the majority of the world that is not technically sophisticated. What countries have you been shipping to? I mean,
that's great. We're still production constrained. Okay. We have a lot of material batched up. They're being manufactured, processed in Las Vegas. My staff is actually the team is in China right now. We're on a on a on a trip here in China to meet everyone. I'm based in Shanghai. We have a large development office in Shanghai. Our headquarters is in Las Vegas. We have a manufacturing facility in Las Vegas. So once we get the supplies all made, we'll start shipping and fulfillment. So that's already started late last month. We're sending more out. We've made the gold edition of the first day issue. We have the regular first day issue. They're stainless steel. We have the Litecoins made. The Bitcoin ones are being made right now, being shipped right now. The Ethereum and the XRP are coming in the next few weeks. So I know people have ordered them. We just need some more time. It took a little bit longer than expected. I apologize for that. And then what was your question about? Sorry, I lost track of the question.
Have you received feedback from newbies yet?
Oh, yeah. What you said, where we're sending it to. Newbie. Yeah, exactly. So I'll genuinely say this. Everyone who's seen this wallet, who hear from us, who've used it, they absolutely love it. Okay, there are a few rare instances where they're haters. They take the wallet, they burn it, they try crazy things, and they hate it. Well, if they're haters, they're haters. Okay, I'm not going to convince them otherwise. We see interest from all over the world. What's amazing is we have opened up a reseller program to allow people to resell these wallets in their local community, in the local towns and countries. We've seen so much interest. It boggles my mind. Every day I wake up, I open my email. It's all emails from random people all over the world that I have not previously met. They're like, oh my gosh, I've heard about it. I've used it at the beta program. I really want to resell this. You know, what does it take to become a reseller and all that stuff? So we have gotten dozens of these emails over the last week alone. It's been amazing interest. Now, I don't know if all of them would become resellers, but based on all the unsolicited people reaching out to us, I'm very positive that we struck a chord here.
Is the interest mostly coming from the Asian markets or the Western markets?
All over the world. Yeah. We have people from Africa, from South America, Australia, Asia, the countries in Southeast Asia, even North America, several people from the US, from Canada, from Europe as well. Literally all over the world. So far, no Antarctica. And what else? No Russia so far. Right. Yeah. Some people even send us emails in like foreign language. We're like, oh, I don't know how to respond to you because we don't read your language.
Well, yeah. I want to put it out there again. We talked about the Casatius coins and that the people that are hating on your product on social media, they aren't remembering that. I mean, this is a better, people loved Casatius coins. They weren't ripping on it. So this is a better version of the Casatius coins. And that's
except it's not loaded. Yeah.
Exactly.
And we think it's a good thing because with a loaded Casatius coin, obviously it's easy. But with this, it's like self-loading. It's like do it yourself. You buy this, you load whatever amount you want because Casatius coins always come in fixed denominations. And plus these days it's very expensive. You know, the one BTC or the whatever, even the half BTC, right? For this, you can load whatever amounts you want and load whatever currencies you want. You can even load a mixture. Like recently, these are real life examples. Recently, my cousin came to visit. She just gave birth to a new daughter. And I gave her an early birthday present to my, I guess, my cousin's daughter. And I loaded Bitcoin and Litecoin. I put it in the wallet and I gave it to her. You know, happy first birthday. I signed it on the back. There's a memo field. You know, and it was really cool. I was able to give Bitcoin and Litecoin to the same person. I have another cousin whose wedding is coming up next summer. And for sure, I'm going to give one of these as a present, right? Even for this Christmas, I'm going to make a bunch of these, give them out all to my friends as Christmas presents. And Chinese New Year is coming up. We're going to give these out as red envelope gifts for all my friends in China, as red envelope gifts. So this is really great for gifting crypto to spread the joy of crypto.
Awesome. Well, let's move. We'll let you conclude about this subject later, but let's move on to the bigger Bitcoin matters. You just were in the news talking about the gold flipping with Bitcoin. And so tell us about that and what your logic was and what your prediction is.
Yeah. First, I want to start out to tell people I'm actually a big fan of gold. Okay. I don't meet a lot of gold bugs, but I'm certainly one of them. I own gold, physical gold coins. I buy gold every year. I add to my gold stash every single year. It's been going on for 15 years now. So I have a what I think is a sizable amount of gold, okay, physical gold. I don't hold it, I hold it physically, okay? So So that said, but however, I'm an even bigger fan of Bitcoin. Okay, so compared to my gold holdings, my Bitcoin stash is worth even more than my gold stash. So having said that, my brother Charlie, he and I have been investing in gold for 20 years. And that's how we got into Bitcoin. We're trying to understand what makes Bitcoin valuable. It's not backed by anything. And that's when we thought about gold isn't backed by anything either. So we have a strong sense of what things, we now have a strong sense of what, how things are valuable. Anyways, so the point is, my comment on the Twitter is about the flippening, right? The idea is that gold today, there's 180,000 metric, 180,000 tons of gold globally, okay? Metric tons, 170,000. And that comes to valuation, or global circulating value of about $8 trillion, $8 or $9 trillion, depending on the price of gold. And what we're saying is that one day, I truly believe the total value of Bitcoin, which is 160 billion today, will reach and eclipse the value of gold. That's the true flippening. Okay, so it's not the price of one Bitcoin versus the price of 1 ounce of gold, because you can't measure the units because they're not the same. You have ounces and grams and kilograms of gold versus units of Bitcoin, you know, one Bitcoin, one millibitcoin, one Satoshi. The units are not comparable. So what I do is I measure the full supply. So for the full supply of gold is 8 trillion. The full supply of Bitcoin is 160 billion. So that's a 50x difference, you know, 50 times bigger than Bitcoin. I think one day Bitcoin will grow in value to overcome that of gold. And by then, you know, at today's price, that means Bitcoin will go up 50 times. It'll go up to $500,000, close to that. And then, but given the inflation and the money printing, gold price will go up as well. So if gold price goes to $3,000 an ounce, then if Bitcoin were to cross gold, that would be $1 million Bitcoin. That was my point.
And you were saying, what, year 2028? I don't want to put words in.
Yeah, I said that because, what people don't realize is in the last 10 years, we saw two block halvings. Okay, two. But the next 10 years, just due to the schedule every 4 years, the next 10 years, we actually will see three block halvings. That's 50% more than the two block halvings we saw in the first 10 years. So basically, our upcoming block halving is actually May of 2020. That's less than 6 months away, okay? And then we'll have one 4 years after that and 4 years after that. So basically, in a span of 9 years, we're going to see three block halvings. And I think, dude, by then, it's going to be super scarce. By then, today, there's 1,800 Bitcoins being made per day of new Bitcoin. By then, in 9 years, we'll see that supply down to 225. That means each block reward will just be 1.6 BTC, something like that. And so the stock to flow model, so how much mining, how much people are spending in electricity for mining Bitcoin on a daily basis, that's going to be split up to earn 225 thereabouts of Bitcoin, 230 Bitcoins. Okay, so you get an idea, right? Meaning if they spend... So let's just rough numbers. If they spend $230 million of mining per day, and they're only mining 230 Bitcoins a day, that means each Bitcoin is $1 million. So if they spend $110 million mining, then each Bitcoin will be $500,000. So roughly that's the model for 9 years out.
Okay, people. I don't want to get people too excited here, but this is why you have a strong hand. This is why you hold it. Pound that like.
Yeah, hold it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell people, you know, my hodling stash, I'm not going to be spending my lifetime. That's why I created products like this, so that my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren can all benefit from the early investments in Bitcoin.
I love it. That's a strong hand right there. He's thinking beyond his lifetime even. Now, I want to go back to gold, because there are a lot of people that are really happy to hear that Bobby Lee and Charlie Lee like gold. I mean, are you bullish? I mean, you're a technical guy. How do you think young people are going to... I see a major transition into crypto.
So I, as I told you, very, very straight. In terms of, I have more money in Bitcoin than I do in gold, but I have a non-insignificant amount of gold. Like most people I meet, they don't own any gold. They only own gold like in an earring or a ring or something like that. They have some gold on their watch and that's it. But I own real gold in ounces and, you know, however many ounces, lots of ounces. So my point is this. My point is I value gold for what it is, which is it's an awesome precious metal that has amazing chemical properties. Okay, it's a what they call a I think it's a noble what do they call it? They call it it's a metal that does not react, first of all.
Yes.
Okay, it has a shiny luster, that yellow goldish luster. It doesn't react, it doesn't tarnish, there's no rusting. It's very stable. It has amazing chemical properties. It's very dense, which means it's how hard to counterfeit. So gold has value because of its chemical properties. This is something people don't realize, okay? And silver is similar as well, has chemical properties that are very amazing for industrial use and all that. That's why gold and silver has been very valued over the years, okay? So my point is, Bitcoin is digital. The issue with Bitcoin is it's just information. So on the one hand, it cannot be confiscated because it's not physical. But on the other hand, it can be forgotten. So that's a danger with Bitcoin. So this is the dichotomy. Gold is precious. It's very physical. Come rain, water, storms, fire, gold will never be destroyed, right? You cannot undo gold. You cannot just, you throw it away, it's still there. Bitcoin, people can lose it. So that's the issue, right? So there are pros and cons of each.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, it makes it, Bitcoin's, I like that aspect that you can lose it. I think that's yeah. a feature.
Let people lose it.
Exactly, yeah. That's good. But
speaking of which, let me share with you another personal story. There are many great features of this physical cryptocurrency wallet. It's all self-contained. So this is a real story. Okay, recently, I had a hardware wallet. I won't name the brand. I don't want to get on people's... I myself use very fancy solutions. I have hardware wallets. I use custodial services. I use exchanges. I have my Bitcoins in different locations, different devices, and so on and so forth. But recently, I had a panic because I was trying to use my hardware wallet, trying to key in the key. Oh, actually, this is a different issue. Sorry. I was using a software wallet, one of the early software wallets, like SPV wallets, where I, in the abundance of security, I set a passphrase for the wallet. Okay. We're security conscious. I actually added a passphrase for the wallet file. And this is very recent. In the last week, one night I was like, oh shit. Sorry to say S word, but basically I forgot the password. Okay. I was panicking. I almost forgot the password. It took me about 10 minutes to cycle through the different passwords. I finally remembered which one I used. Okay, and this is a real story. What I realized is I think myself as a smart guy, but even for people, memory is fallible. Human memory is fallible. Okay, I'm saying like something could happen. You can get hit by a bus, or even if you don't get hit by a bus, human memory is fallible. So don't make the mistake of losing coins because you forgot an esoteric password that you used to lock up your coins for the purpose of security. Sometimes what you do for security actually harms you in the end. There's so many stories out there, people losing their coins because they forgot the password. And it almost happened to me, and I knock on wood, I remembered it, but I'm gonna put more of my coins on Ballet because of this.
Okay, it even happens to the OGs, they have a
absolutely.
Memory lapses like that. And again, yeah. Memory is different than intelligence, people. Memory does kind of fade over time, and you keep your intelligence. But yeah, it's a very interesting start. I do want to go back to the gold talk
again,
because something I was over the next, and this is going to be your, get your opinion on the overall crypto sector here. What would you rather, what's going to do better over the next 2 years? Gold or
2 years?
Ethereum? Ethereum over the next 2 years.
So to be honest, I hold Ethereum. I own some Ethereum. Not a lot. I own some. But very honestly, I am not, I don't follow Ethereum very closely. So I cannot even tell you what the price is. I just don't know what the price of Ethereum is. I think if I recall correctly, it's underperformed Bitcoin in the last 2 years. So my Ethereum investments in terms of BTC amount has gone down in value. So I don't have any comments on the price outlook for Ethereum.
The reason I do that comparison is because I want to hear your, maybe you're so focused on your product, you don't see what is going on out there, but there is so much of this DeFi talk about Ethereum. Are you into this at all? Or are you just ignoring it all and focusing on the
product? For me, I think it's great that there's industry people pushing forward, blockchain, decentralized, public blockchain, decentralized finance, smart contracts. I think it's great people are pushing that forward. But for me, day to day, I don't find it useful for me. It hasn't brought me value. And plus, this year, I've been focused on this product to bring mass market into crypto, to hodl cryptocurrency. So I've been, maybe it's been a mistake, maybe, that I haven't followed the DeFi movement on Ethereum very closely. No, in the last 2 months.
You only got a limited amount of time here, and I think a lot of it is hype, obviously. But now, so let's this final question is a big question. That's
Please.
Has China really changed its tune toward Bitcoin? You are in China. You've had a lot of experience with regulators there. With your previous business. So because everyone the last 2 weeks now, the stories coming out of China, they love blockchain now. You could talk about it. They love Bitcoin. I mean, what is the real story?
Yeah. So China, here's how I would characterize it. I think recently we saw Chairman Xi Jinping talk about, the country's going to go all in on blockchain. I think it's hinting towards releasing a digital cryptocurrency that's backed by the RMB, sort of like a government-issued stablecoin for the Chinese renminbi. In fact, it was supposed to be announced today, November 11th, but it didn't. I don't think I heard news. It did not come out. So either those were wrong rumors, or maybe it's delayed or whatever. I'm not going to hold my breath. But at the same time, the point is this: China, the way the government works is it's an authoritarian government. So it's a government about power, about who. It's not a democracy. It's not like there's sentiment, public sentiment about how things should be. It's basically one or a few people decide, make decisions on things. It's kind of run like a company, in fact. Companies more like that, right? So the point is that the leaders, singular or plural, make decisions on how they want to see things happen. And then the laws and the rules, are adjusted to reflect that, to give them the most flexibility. Okay. So over the last few years, we've seen Bitcoin being banned multiple times in China. The reason is that because they hesitate, they want to do things, they don't want to do that way. One of the stories is that at one point, this is 2.5 years ago, 2017, they were actually ready to issue licenses for cryptocurrency exchanges. So we, BTCC, BTC China, we were on the receiving end of that license. We saw the draft copy. Okay, we're about to get it, literally. But it didn't happen at the last minute. The plug got pulled that summer, and then the ban came down, and we had to close down the exchange. So it was literally 180-degree flip within 6 months, okay? And it's not unheard of. Things like that would happen again, okay? So that's why when they make announcements about digital RMB, about blockchain, to me, it's whatever. It doesn't change the daily lives, and it's not done until it's done. So all the rumors, I don't pay much attention. It's just rumors. And I know the price goes up and down because of the rumors, but I'm a hodler. I don't trade on the news or the rumors. So I don't care much about it. So we'll see. We'll see. Time will tell us whether China will be the first country to issue a digital stable coin for their currency and issued by the central bank or not. Right? Libra was a great effort by the private sector. I'm fully behind that. I think Libra, I would vote yes to let Libra launch. Not that I'm a fan of Facebook. I'm not a fan of Facebook, but I would be a fan of a consortium stablecoin. Anyways, so we'll see if China does it.
You feel that, and I agree. I like this. I like the idea of Facebook doing their own coin because I think private companies should be able to. They should exactly be able to have their own currency, just like a country. Do you agree with that?
Exactly. I totally. Let me share a story with you. This is my analysis. Okay. Think about, I'm in China right now. So look at this. This is paper money, right? So this obviously very recent in the last 5 years, I think. But how did paper money get invented? Paper money started as notes, as bank notes, where there's a depository bearer. The banks would pay the bearer on demand, either gold or silver, right? That's the invention of paper money. In the U.S., it was these gold certificates, silver certificates, right? So how did the word bank come about? So in the early days, it was just goldsmiths. These are companies, businesses that help people make gold, goldsmiths, or make them into coins, make them into nuggets or whatever, ingots, and so on and so forth. And they issued notes, and they would have depository services, and the notes were the claim on the gold, right? So these are private companies issuing paper money that's backed by gold. So what we're saying now is I totally think, as a libertarian, I totally think that companies should be allowed to issue digital currencies backed by today's money, which is fiat money. So why should that not be allowed? I think in a free country, it should be allowed. I think that's why the government, I think, has a weak case against Facebook. From a pure constitutional perspective, I think Facebook or any currency should have the right to issue digital versions that's backed by real money. I mean, it has to pass the security laws and all that stuff, but constitutionally, I think it's legitimate.
Now, you said don't hold your breath about China. You know, they make the, and all sorts of things come out all the time. But let's say they actually come up with their digital stable coin.
Okay.
Do you think that will be huge for cryptocurrency around the world? Do you think they'll take us to the next level?
I think it will. I think it will for a few reasons. First of all, China is up and coming. They're trying to, you know, replace the U.S. hegemony, the dollar standard and all that stuff. I'm a Chinese American, I'm a US citizen, so I'm nothing against the United States. But just having lived in China for many years, I can see the actions. And China's trying to challenge the US in terms of the dollar standard and all that stuff. I think a digital renminbi would be a great way to do that. It'll really stick it to the face of the Federal Reserve, right? So if they do that, if China actually has digital RMB, we don't know what form it will be. We don't know if the accounts and the private keys will be created by citizens or whether it will be assigned to people like bank account numbers, okay? So that's a very key question. The debate is still out there whether which way they're going to go by. But the point is, generally, if it is a true digital cryptocurrency where we, the users, have access to the private keys, where we can make transactions and send money on a blockchain, either private or whatever consortium blockchain, without controls, then it will make digital currencies, the decentralized digital currencies like Bitcoin and so on, much more pervasive, because then you can have exchanges that can change from digital RMB to Bitcoin and vice versa much, much easier than going through the physical banking sector today. So I'm very excited about that. Yeah, it'll be like USDT, but it'll be like whatever, Chinese RMB, digital RMB. Imagine that, right? That would be a hot, hot trading pair. Whatever the ticker symbol is for the RMB digital version and then BTC, ETH, XRP, whatever. Those would be very hot trading pairs. High volume, high liquidity, very fast, you know, it'll clear instantly and all that stuff. It may still have KYC stuff, but it'll have strong liquidity there, just like the USDT trading pairs have strong liquidity.
Well, we've got an interesting decade ahead of us we're about to enter. I call it the golden age we're about to enter here. And so I love that there's innovation going on at all different levels. We have no idea what's going to be next here. That's the magic. That's what I love about this industry, about this space. Who, you know, 5 years ago, we couldn't have predicted everything that's going on today. So
that's right. That's right.
It's amazing. So I'll leave you with thank you so much for taking time to be on the show today.
Yeah. Thank you, Adam.
And
great questions.
I'm glad people can make their own decisions. If they want to be haters, they can be haters, but no, there's no exit scam. you can come up with your conspiracies, people. That's fine. It's a free world. But what do you have to say? What are your conclusionary thoughts here about the product or the space in general? Anything?
Yeah. Is yours. So Bitcoin, I'm very excited. I'm a big Bitcoin fan, maximalist hodler. I think the next 10 years will be amazing. I think we'll see Bitcoin going to the $1 trillion value cap. $1 trillion is actually very easy. It's only a 5x. I think 5-6x will get us a trillion. The question, will it get to 10 trillion? And I think with the money printing that's happening around the world, I think we'll very easily get us to 10 trillion. Literally, there are hundreds of billions being printed every day, every month. Look at the US debt, look at the deficit. It's crazy stuff out there what they're doing. I mean, the reason Bitcoin will do well is because our competition is just, they're terrible at what they're doing, meaning our competition is fiat money, and it's just fiat money is not holding its value. It's just it's getting an F grade for holding its value. And when our competition is getting an F, even if we get a C or D, I think we'll be leaps and bounds better than fiat money. So that's why I'm very bullish on Bitcoin. And Bitcoin, by the way, is not a C or D, it's an A plus, I think. And then in terms of Ballet, I'm really excited about this. This is the most fun thing, the most exciting thing about that I've done in my whole life, running this company, building this product. I think we really are trying to make cryptocurrency accessible to everyone, to the everyday person around the world. This is definitely not an exit scam. They're just better ways to scam people, I think. And I wouldn't do that anyways. So for people who are on the fence, buy one, try it out. I think you'll love it. If you don't love it, tell me why. I'd love to hear your feedback. people have given us really great feedback over time, and we've made modifications to improve the product, the software, and all that stuff. So I look forward to people's feedback and spread the joy of crypto by, you know, either with Ballet or without Ballet, but please help spread the world, the joy of crypto to the rest of the world.
All right. Great times here today on the One Bitcoin Show. Everybody, remember, it's a new show every single day. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again, Bobby Lee. I am Adam Meister, the Bitcoin Meister, the Disrupt Meister. Remember to subscribe to the channel, like the video, share this video, pound that like button, click on those squares. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks a lot. See you, everyone. Bye-bye.